You're listening to the Holistic Weight Loss Podcast for women who are ready to discover just how easy it can be to regain control of their health and wellness. Here's your host, Christina Ettore.
Hello and welcome to the Holistic Weight Loss Podcast. Today we are going to look at the calories in, calories out model of weight loss, and we're going to look at how it works and why it fails. When it comes to calorie restriction for weight loss, there are two main reasons why it doesn't work. Reason number one is, due to wanting to lose the weight as quickly as possible, we tend to over-restrict. So we cut our calories too low, and this often leads to binge eating or perhaps overdoing it on the weekend. And then by the end of the week or the end of the month, instead of ending up in a calorie deficit, we actually end up in a calorie surplus. So although it feels like we've been dieting all week or all month, we've not technically done enough to lose the weight. So that problem is fairly simple and straightforward. Now, reason number two is the problem we're going to discuss in a lot more detail today. And it's a really common problem that I see among the women that I work with. And unfortunately, a lot of women who struggle with this problem are not even aware that it's happening. And that problem is metabolic suppression, which develops as a consequence after years of fad dieting, yo-yo dieting, and restriction. Now, to understand how you can avoid these problems and make this model of weight loss work for you, we first need to understand how we burn calories or how we use energy. The way we expend energy can be broken up into four categories. First, and the easiest concept to understand, is we burn calories or use energy through deliberately exercising. Regular exercise for 45 to 60 minutes a day contributes to about 15 to 30% of your total energy expenditure. That's category number one. Next, we have non-exercise activities. So this is just our general daily movements, walking to the car, walking to our desk, cleaning the house. Maybe on the weekend you'll go shopping or to the beach or something else and you'll move a bit more, but overall it doesn't really contribute that much to our daily energy expenditure. Then we have the thermogenic effect of food. So this is how much energy it takes to actually chew and digest the food you eat. And some foods are more thermogenic than other foods. And so this category accounts for about 10% of your total daily energy expenditure. And then, and this is the most important one, and this is also the most misunderstood, and the part of the equation that really no one talks about, and that's your resting metabolic rate. And this makes up about 60 to 70% of your daily energy expenditure. This category, over everything else, has the most impact when it comes to how many calories you will burn each day. More than incidental movement, and twice as much as exercise, even if you're exercising for an hour a day, your resting metabolic rate is the primary factor that determines how many calories you will burn or how much energy you will expend. Now here comes the problem. Restrictive dieting, diets of 1200 to 1400 calories a day, very strict keto diets, the horrible fast 800, shake diets, the HCG diet, even popular food delivery diets like light and easy, these are often far too low in calories. That's why you get those rapid results in the first few weeks. But those rapid results aren't good for you in the long run. So initially, these diets work and you will lose some body fat, but you will also lose muscle, sometimes quite a bit of muscle. And so you will be smaller and lighter, but at a big expense, which we're going to discuss in a moment. Now, to add to this problem, as you restrict calories, the amount of energy you burn through exercise and non-exercise activity reduces. I believe the thermogenic effect of food somewhat remains the same. It could reduce a little bit, but really, neither of these is the primary problem. The primary problem is your basal metabolic rate drops. It comes crashing down and it crashes aggressively. And here's some more bad news. It doesn't just magically increase back to where it was when you inevitably fall off the wagon and start eating normally again. It remains impaired and suppressed for a long time, sometimes months, sometimes years. So everything your body does requires energy. And we get energy from the food we eat, and technically that energy is called calories. One of the primary ways that your body uses that energy is by generating heat. And the generation of that heat is controlled by your basal metabolic rate. So your body uses a lot of energy just to keep your body at an ideal temperature. Keeping you warm and alive and comfortable requires a huge amount of energy. And our body functions best between 36.6 degrees and 37.1 degrees. Now we know what happens when our body temperature rises above 37.1. A fever of only 38 degrees can cause convulsions, and it can be life-threatening. However, it's not uncommon for women who have a long history of stress or dieting to be walking around with a low body temperature. Fortunately, the symptoms of chronically low body temperature are not as violent or life-threatening like a fever can be. Instead, when the body temperature is chronically low, you end up with a lot of extra stubborn weight, because that low body temperature is a result of a lowered basal metabolic rate. The metabolism has turned down heat production to conserve energy. And the body will not turn the basal metabolic rate up until it is absolutely certain that it is safe to do so. What this means is the lowered body temperature can be a problem for you for years, and you can diet, you can cut calories, and you can try one of the things that used to work in the past. But eventually you begin to discover that you cannot eat little enough to lose the weight, because your body has cut down on the amount of fuel that it needs. And if it doesn't use the fuel gets stored for later. And this is why people say calorie counting for weight loss doesn't work. It's not that it doesn't work, it can just go wrong, especially if there are other complications happening within the body. And unfortunately, the people that it generally goes wrong for are women, especially women over the age of 30, and even more so if they started dieting and using restrictive diets early on in life. Now, the cells of your body, your organs, and your body systems, like your lymphatic system, for example, which is involved in detoxification and fluid distribution. These things, the cells, the organs, and the systems, like the lymphatic system, work best when your body temperature is within the optimal range. So guess what that means? It means when your basal metabolic function becomes suppressed, every cell, every organ, and every system in your body does not work to the best of its ability. And this is, and I don't want to make any claims that are too bold here, but when your cells and organs and systems don't work properly, that's how you become chronically unwell. And this is why no matter what problem a client comes in to see me with, whether it's chronic fatigue, a hormone issue, an immune issue, weight, a gut issue, skin problems, whatever it is, the metabolism needs to be addressed and repaired for any healing to take place. Now, in addition to reducing the temperature of your body, a few other things will slow down to conserve energy as your basal metabolic rate reduces. Heart rate can slow down, and breathing, so breaths per minute, can also slow down. Liver function and detoxification can become impaired. And when this starts to slow down, it creates a lot of other major issues. Hormone production is impaired. For example, you may stop ovulating, which can cause irregular periods, painful periods, infertility, PCOS, early menopause. This often means you won't produce as much progesterone, so estrogen starts to dominate, and estrogen is associated with weight gain and a huge array of female health issues. Not estrogen in general, but when estrogen is dominant. When the metabolism slows down, digestion can suffer and slow down. Enzyme and acid production is reduced, so you won't digest food and nutrients as efficiently or effectively as you could. You will stop moving your bowels regularly or completely, at least, you know, not without coffee or some other aid. And you can also develop things like leaky gut and bacterial overgrowth. And mental health can suffer in a big, big way because it takes energy to be optimistic, resilient, calm, and motivated. When the basal metabolic rate is suppressed, when the body is in energy conservation mode, you will feel tired, lethargic, unmotivated. You're definitely not going to want to exercise because that takes energy. And a lowered metabolic rate will often promote feelings of depression, anxiety, irritability, and impatience. And then on top of all of these health issues, we have some superficial issues, things like your skin health will deteriorate. Wrinkles will form more quickly and easily, and your body will not prioritize producing the collagen needed to slow that process down. It's not an essential priority for the body to do that. If there's not enough energy and resources available, it will simply make that job redundant. Your nails will not grow as fast, they will become weak. Your hair will not grow as fast, you will notice that it starts to thin and it will feel dry and weak and lackluster. And one of the most dangerous deteriorations that can occur is a loss of muscle mass. It takes a lot of energy and a consistent amount of deliberate exercise, especially if you are older than 30, to maintain muscle mass. And I'm not even talking about building muscle yet. It takes a lot of energy, food, and resistance training just to keep the muscle that you have. The great thing about muscle is muscle burns a lot of calories. So when you eat less and go on a restrictive diet, one of the first things that the body starts to get rid of is muscle because it uses too much valuable energy. And the body has no idea how long you intend to diet for or how long you're going to be in a famine for. So it tries to help in the worst way possible by metabolizing muscle. And so this is why pre-dieting, you may have had a normal amount of muscle mass for your age, which meant you were probably able to eat a normal amount of food and maintain your weight quite easily. Sure, it may not have been a weight that you were totally happy at, but that aside, you were able to maintain your weight, give or take, you know, 2 to 4 kilos. But now, after you have dieted and sacrificed some of your muscle, you discover that your old normal diet actually produces weight gain. And instead of being able to maintain your weight easily, you have to work quite hard at maintaining your weight. And as soon as you take your foot off the pedal, you gain weight. And eventually you just accept the fact that your baseline weight, your new set point, is just a lot higher than it was a few years ago. This is what commonly happens when we diet irresponsibly. And so, optimal metabolic function and a strong basal metabolic rate is the key to healthy, graceful aging and longevity. Not just from a looks point of view, but also from an internal health point of view. So when you eat less to lose weight, it's a fine line. You don't want to eat too much less than you absolutely need to, and you definitely do not want to trigger fast weight loss. Because as I discussed in my previous podcast, that fast weight loss can trigger a cascade of hormone issues that promotes the regaining of the weight, and then other hormones prevent easy, long-lasting weight loss in the future. But we're not going back into that today. So little recap. We know we need to eat less than we burn to lose weight. But now we also know that eating less can be destructive for metabolic function and it can cause stubborn weight gain in the future. So the trick to weight loss is not necessarily to eat less than we burn. The goal is to burn more than we eat, which I know sounds like the same thing, but it's not. And this is why. First, we need to understand how we can teach the body to burn more. The obvious one here is we can exercise more, but with a clear intention. So instead of exercising to buy yourself a few more calories for the day, or even worse, instead of exercising to try to burn off something you ate the day before, we can aim to exercise with the intention to build muscle. Building muscle is one of the most important and powerful things you can do for your metabolism, and it will help you to achieve food freedom in the long run. Not to mention all the amazing health benefits associated with weight training and resistance training. But to actually build muscle, we need to be doing the right exercises, first of all, and we need to be eating enough of the right foods to build muscle. And we need to eat those foods at the right time. So no fasted workouts. We need to eat to fuel muscle growth as a result of the exercise that we perform. Next, we have to eat more. More of the right foods for our bodies, which means letting go of the fear of eating more. And I know it sounds completely counterintuitive, but in these situations, eating more of the right food for you, which is something that is different for everyone, so we usually work this out in a private consultation, but eating more of the right foods for you will result in weight loss. And I think in the past 3 years or so, I've maybe seen 4 or 5 clients where that didn't happen. So less than 5%. And that was because of things that I'm not going to talk about today, but for everyone else, it's scary, but it works. Once we are eating more, we need to heal all of the underlying damage, gut issues, hormone issues, inflammation, and stress. Healing comes after eating more because you need a surplus of energy to heal. And if the body is smart enough, or perhaps I should say if the body is ready, it will put that surplus fuel into healing rather than weight gain. while we're healing the underlying issues, we also need to look at possible nutrient deficiencies and detoxification support. No crazy detox diets or anything like that. We just need to look at how we can support your body to do a better job of what it already does naturally. And this process is different for everyone, but basically we just work together to tidy everything up because a healthy body wants to maintain a healthy weight. And a healthy weight is not necessarily a low weight or a skinny weight. It's a weight where you feel your best, where mentally and emotionally you feel good. Not because you have lost the weight, but because you're eating enough to feel calm and energized and optimistic. A healthy weight is where you don't feel bloated or fluidy or puffy. Your joints don't ache, your hormones don't trouble you, you sleep well, and you have motivation to move your body and do things for you. Whatever that weight is, that is a healthy weight for you. And it's not until you start to feel really good that feeling good becomes more important than fitting back into your old jeans or whatever it is that you have been starving yourself to try to achieve. So that's it for today. I hope you found these insights helpful, and I hope you know now that if you're feeling stuck with your weight, it's not your fault, because you have likely done your best, but unfortunately, as we know now, that can backfire. And if you're resonating with what I have discussed, I would love to help you sort it out. You can visit my website, renewhealththerapies.com.au, to book an appointment and get started today.